You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, follow us wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join me on Wednesdays, that's today, to get in on the action. Spotify Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. On today's show, we are going to do a trade deadline primer. In the first segment, I'm going to talk about four prospects and one player that could be moved at the trade deadline that'll have a lot of value, but that I am comfortable seeing the Mets deal. In the second segment, I want to address the areas of need. We're going to talk about Tyler McGill and Carlos Carrasco and what the Mets are looking like at the back end of their starting rotation. I'll talk a little bit about the bullpen and where they can address the offense. Then finally, in the last segment, I'll throw out some names of targets the Mets could go after, but more importantly, talk about the type of deal the Mets should be looking to make once we get to that trade deadline in a couple of weeks. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also follow the show at LockedOnMets. Now, I want to say on the front end, this is being recorded before the All-Star game takes place. Obviously, there's not much that Taijuan Walker can do in an inning that would make it really noteworthy to put in this show. I mean, shouts to him for being an All-Star. Looking forward to watching him pitch later tonight. But we're going to focus in on the trade deadline. And when I look at the Mets farm system, and I've said this many of times over the past month or so, there are a lot of guys on my trade. Francisco Alvarez, Brett Beatty, Matt Allen, JT Jin, Pete Crow Armstrong. And then you get into a list of guys where it's like, I'm not so sure. And Ronnie Mauricio is at the top of this list that I made, because I previously said I would not trade him. And generally, I still don't want the Mets to trade him, but I'm a little bit more open to it. He is the number one piece that moves the needle. This is a guy that any team could sell to their fan base as the headline of a package. He was the Mets' number one prospect heading into the 2020 season, according to Baseball America, their number two prospect heading into this season. He's still 20 years old, big kid, 6'4", can clearly play shortstop right now. Even if he moves over to third base, he has the build for it. So there's going to be a lot of teams who would be interested in Ronnie Mauricio. But here is why I'd be willing to move him. There's the obvious fact that you have shortstop locked up for a decade with Lindor. But along with that, Jalen Palmer's having a nice little season right now in low A in St. Lucie. So maybe that gives you a little bit more coverage at the position. Also, Mauricio not having the best year. He's hitting .222, a .262 on base percentage, .419 slugging percentage, .680 OPS, does have 9 home runs and 203 at-bats at the high A level for the first time. He's 20 years old, so this could just be some growing pains. Not everyone is going to be like Francisco Alvarez and Brett Beatty, who just hit the ground running in high A, and for Beatty, end up in double A very quickly. It just doesn't happen like that all the time. And so I'm not saying that his long-term prospects are any worse than they would have been heading into this season based on his performance, but it does give you a little bit of pause. And with that, you are looking at where he ranks in the Mets' organizational hierarchy when it comes to prospects, and Alvarez has passed him. I think Beatty has as well. So that knocks him down to third, maybe. Kumar Rocker maybe pushes him down to fourth. Who knows? You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to deal him because he's no longer the top prospect. I mean, that's just a sign that the farm system's getting better. But my point is, he is not as integral as he once was to this farm system. You can trade him for the right player, and that's the only way I am dealing him, is if it's the last option to get the deal that makes you a World Series contender, then I would move him. Then you go to Mark Vientos. I'm very similar when it comes to Vientos and Mauricio as far as my willingness to trade them. I don't want to do it, but if it's the right deal, I will. Vientos, a second round pick in 2017, having a big season. His slugging percentage is at .601 right now. 14 home runs, 13 doubles, only 21 years old. Could be in AAA very soon, as Brett Beatty was just promoted to AA, so everyone's wondering if he's going to get a bump as well. Right now, he's experimenting out in left field, and that might be the problem here when it comes to Vientos and why I would be more comfortable trading him than maybe some other prospects, because he doesn't necessarily have a position just yet. Is this just a younger version of JD Davis? It's possible, and with that, maybe you trade him now while another team still thinks they can find a position for him and might be a little bit more intrigued by him than in 2 years, where maybe he comes onto the scene, hits great, but shows that he can't defend anywhere. So maybe this is a time to move a guy who's having a great season, again, only if it is the right package. Now, the number three player or prospect on my list is JD Davis, and I'll talk about him more in the next segment under the context of what makes this team better, but I just think that he's a guy that might have some value on the market who has not been with the team all year, so you can easily talk yourself into losing him on this roster if it means getting better and addressing some real areas of need. Now, the final two prospects, I have Thomas Cipucki and Jalen Palmer. With Cipucki, we've talked about him a lot this year, so I'm not going to do a deep dive into his numbers, but this is, right now, the top pitching prospect the Mets have to deal. He has a career 2.80 ERA in the minor leagues as a left-handed starter. Teams are going to value that. He has dealt with injuries throughout his career, so he doesn't have the longest of track records. I think the Mets would be comfortable dealing him even more so now that they have Rocker, because they have built out that pitching depth at the upper levels in the farm system. Rocker, I think, likely starts in high A next year, so he can be fast-tracked to the majors. To me, Cipucki becomes even more tradable now, so that's one option. And then the other is Jalen Palmer. I mentioned him when I talked about Mauricio. He's 20 years old. Right now, he's in low A St. Lucie, 6'4" shortstop, can play third base as well. This season, he's hitting .272 with a .383 on base percentage and a .359 slugging percentage. That's a .742 OPS. He does not have a lot of power, doesn't have a home run this season, but he has 19 stolen bases in 22 attempts, scored 36 runs in 50 games. So this is a potential table setter. If you can steal bases and get on base at a .380 clip, you got something here. So maybe he is a prospect that other teams will value. He's actually out of Holy Cross High School in Flushing, so a local kid that was drafted in the 22nd round has become something. We'll see if the Mets do ultimately dangle him on the market, but he's definitely having the type of season that will garner some interest elsewhere, so maybe the Mets could move him. Now, those are just some of the prospects that I think have value to the Mets and other organizations that could be part of trades. In a minute, we will go through what the Mets need to get at the deadline before talking about how they accomplish those needs. Dinner time can be chaotic, but with Freshly, it's easy. Their chefs take care of your meals a few nights a week and take the pressure off you. Freshly offers chef-made, nutrient-packed, delicious meals delivered fresh to your door, no cooking required. Grocery shopping and cooking can be a pain, especially right now, and Freshly, you don't have to do it. Your meals arrive cooked and fresh every week, so you can keep your fridge stocked and skip the trip to the store. Ordering is easy. Just visit Freshly.com and choose from over 30 delicious, satisfying, better-for-you meals like steak, peppercorn, sausage, baked penne, or their chicken pesto bowl. And for now, our listeners can try Freshly for just $6.16 per meal. That's cheaper than takeout. Your meals are always delivered fresh, never frozen, and are ready to heat and enjoy in just 3 minutes. So right now, Freshly is offering our listeners $40 off your first two orders when you go to Freshly.com/LockedOn. Stop stressing about dinner. Go to Freshly.com/LockedOn for $40 off your first two orders. That's Freshly.com/LockedOn for $40 off your first two orders. This episode is brought to you in part by Spotify Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I host Spotify Green Rooms on Wednesday, and you can finally get into the conversation that you listen to here every day. Generally, I go live around game time on Wednesday, so it's 7 o'clock. You come on, you talk with me, some other fans of the show, fans of the Mets, and it's just like hanging out with your buddies watching a game. So make sure you download the free Green Room app now. It's currently available on all devices. You can create your profile, link your Twitter, join the MLB group, and you'll get the latest league updates. Follow me at Finkelstein Ryan, and you'll be notified when my room goes live. I know you don't want to miss it. I can't wait to hear all your thoughts on the Mets. So join me on Wednesdays on Spotify Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. Well, I have a weird update. It's kind of a live update, but it's a recorded podcast, so it's not going to be a live update. I just talked about Thomas Opucky, and it turns out he's going to need season-ending ulnar nerve transposition surgery. So he made his debut last month. He's had Tommy John surgery. We talked about all the injuries he's had in his career. And now this is another one that will derail him until next season. So that's not a trade option the Mets now have at their disposal. But the first four that I talked about are the other four. Remain the same, and so we're just going to keep it moving from there and talk about this Mets team. And when it comes to pitching depth, it keeps taking hits. Zapucki's another one. Lucchese's out for the year with the Tommy John surgery. Haven't seen Jordan Yamamoto since the beginning of the season with the shoulder injury. We'll see if he comes back in the second half, but their depth has been evaporated. And so right now you're looking at Tylor Megill and Carlos Carrasco, and you're wondering, are those two guys enough to solidify this rotation and take the Mets through the rest of the season? David Peterson could be back at some point. You know, he has that oblique issue. Wasn't sure if it was going to be, you know, a really long layoff where he was going to be out for months, or maybe he'd be back sooner, but we haven't gotten an update. It is the Mets. For some reason, I still think it's going to be the longer end of things, which means he might not be back until September. And if that's the case, you got to add to this rotation in some way, shape, or form. And you're really just analyzing, where do you have to go? Do you got to get a Jose Berrios, one of the better starting pitchers on the market? Can you settle on someone like Tyler Anderson, who we saw pitch for the Pirates over the weekend? Looked pretty good. Hit a home run. Kept the Mets at bay for the most part. Has a pretty good mix. Has a nice cutter. Can just get outs and be a quality fifth starter. Or do you just have to get a complete depth add where you're maybe trading for someone that you can get for cash or something at the deadline? Like, I don't know, like Jay Happ or one of those guys is having a bad season that teams are just willing to give up. And you just stockpile your team with a little bit more veteran experience instead of guys like Robert Stock or Jared Eichhoff. So those are kind of the options. But looking at what's going to really determine those things, you have Megill, who has a 3.50 ERA through four starts. Here's the bigger one, 26 strikeouts and 18 innings pitched. He has a major league fastball, and he has a slider and changeup that each have a whiff percentage over 40% in his early career. That'll play. Here's the problem, though. Hasn't made it past five innings yet, and when you're stacking up this rotation, you feel a lot better about your pitching if Megill is your quote-unquote sixth starter, and it's either pitching out of your bullpen giving you length, or is in Syracuse waiting, so anytime you need a spot starter, you have a guy you can call on who can provide you with some quality starting pitching as opposed to going to the stocks and the Eichhoffs of the world. So I think this guy is proving that he can get guys out at the big league level, but I think the Mets are better off if there's someone else pitching in his place and he's back in Syracuse. Or if he's in bullpen, replacing the likes of Sean Reed, Foley, Yenzi Diaz has filled that role of giving length at times. You have even Megill Castro, who is a high leverage reliever, but has given the Mets two innings at a time at points this season. Now, you're not even comfortable for him pitching one inning. He's just really struggled lately. So maybe adding a live arm like Megill, who's a big guy with a big fastball, a couple of nasty breaking pitches apparently now, wasn't supposed to have that, but he sure has brought that to the big league level. Maybe he would play up in the bullpen. So these are all options the Mets can toy with, but you need more depth so you can play around with someone like Megill as opposed to him just being your fourth starter, which he was down the stretch of the first half. Then you have Carlos Carrasco, who will make a rehab start on Thursday somewhere in the Mets farm system that has not been decided yet. He's scheduled to pitch two or three innings, and it's possible he joins the Mets after that and will be lined up to pitch the fifth game after the All-Star break, but that decision has not been made yet. Obviously, they'll want to see him pitch first in that rehab start and then decide. For me, if he looks halfway decent, you go with it, because Carlos Carrasco providing you three or four innings and maybe 60 pitches is better than whatever you're going to get right now when it comes to that fifth starter, whether it's Corey Oswalt, Jared Eichhoff, Robert Stock, Franklin Killamay, I don't know, whoever they decide to call on that's currently in Syracuse or has been shuttling back and forth. They're not as good as Carlos Carrasco. They might take 95 pitches to get through four innings. Meanwhile, Carrasco might be able to get through that same four innings and 60 pitches, and then you have to get him out of there for a pitch count as he ramps up. But I would rather see him ramp up at the big league level if he's available to do so. And right now, with the hamstring being good, his arm seems okay. He's throwing some live BP. Going to do a rehab start. He is 100% healthy right now. I would use him. So that's where I'm at with Carrasco. And that leads you into what you do with this rotation. And I just think it's got to be someone that can just bridge the gap to Peterson and can make Tyler McGill a little bit more of a malleable piece where you can deploy him in different ways. So I mentioned Tyler Anderson. I like Tyler Anderson. If you make a trade with the Cubs to get Chris Bryant and you can get Zach Davies, that's another guy. You're looking for a fifth starter that is just going to help you get through the rest of the season, because if you get to the playoffs with what you have right now, I think the Mets are fine. Now, when it comes to the bullpen, I think the Mets are going to look for one more arm to add to what they have. As I mentioned, with Miguel Castro, you just don't know if you can count on him as a high leverage reliever. And without him, you still got Familia, you still got May. Obviously, you have Diaz and Lugo, but you'd like to add one more. Aaron Loos has been great as well. But I think the Mets are going to be on the phones and seeing if they can get one more guy that can really take the bullpen to another level. And then you get to the offense. The Mets this year are the second worst offense based on runs per game at 3.76. Only the Pirates are worse. And they got to find some way to address this lineup, but almost every position is taken. You have Dom and Leff, who has turned things around a bit offensively as of late. You got Nimmo in center, Conforto in right, Pete Alonso at first, Jeff McNeil at second, Lindor at short. Your backstop set with McCann and Nito. So there's just not a lot of areas where the Mets can bring someone in who's going to be better than what they have, which is where third base gets brought up. And the Mets have options there. Jonathan Villar has had a nice season, a WRC plus of 107, and that measures hitters based on a league average of 100, so he's been slightly better than league average. Louis Guillorme, a 108 WRC plus, same thing as VR there. Guillorme has a 293 slugging percentage, which makes some people think, how can you have a guy who's only going to hit singles, but gets on base at a 410 clip, plays outstanding defense. So I think those two guys can cover third base very well, and you obviously have JD Davis, who brings that extra level of firepower to the offense. But I think the Mets need to find a better version of JD Davis. That's where you get to Chris Bryant. Someone that can play multiple positions, but play them well, or at least, you know, aren't a liability out in left field and third as Davis is, but can bring you that punch to the lineup. And I think those are the types of players the Mets should really put high on their list to take the team to another level. That is the move that raises the ceiling of this team. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit more in just a minute. I want to tell you, though, about the best tasting protein bar ever. And that's Built Bar, of course. My favorite flavor is the cookies and cream, but maybe you like the caramel brownie, the apple almond crisp, whatever flavor you like, Built Bar has it for you. These are protein bars that taste like candy bars. They come covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft, they're easy to chew, and they're healthy. They come low in calories, low in sugar. They're high in protein and high in fiber. If you want to try Built Bar today, you go to BuiltBar.com. You can mix up your box, pick a bunch of different flavors, try them out. Use our promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. so far today, we've talked about players that could be moved. We've talked about areas of need. So how do you get a deal done? I really think the Mets strategy at the deadline should be to make one trade. One single trade that will maybe clear up some areas of clutter on the roster, that will make everything fit in place the right way, that will take the team and bring them to a point where they can look up at the Dodgers, the Giants, the Padres, some of those other juggernauts out west, and say, we got a roster just as good as yours, and our pitching's better. That is what the Mets can try to get to at the deadline, and I think they have the desire to do that. I think that this is a team right now that is going to be aggressive, but they want to be selectively aggressive. And that's where I get to one big trade, because I think if you're going to give up a Ronnie Mauricio or a Mark Vientos or even Jalen Palmer to a lesser extent for sure, you want to make sure you get something of value back, especially if you're talking about a rental. So if it's Chris Bryant for Ronnie Mauricio, I don't love that deal. I don't. But if it's Chris Bryant for Ronnie Mauricio and whatever else it is, but you know, maybe it's a couple lower level prospects to fill out a package. But if you're getting back, along with Chris Bryant, Zach Davies and Andrew Chafin, well, now you got a reliever with a 1.50 ERA in Chafin, who throws from the left side, they can pair with Loop in that bullpen. You have Zach Davies, becomes your fifth starter, which is far better than anything else that you could bring up from the pipeline, whether we talk about the stocks, the high cost. And even with McGill, he might not have as good of numbers as McGill this season, but he's a veteran starting pitcher. I slot him in as my fifth starter from the Mets. I put McGill in the bullpen, maybe see how he plays there, and you keep moving on this season. Or, again, you can put McGill back in Syracuse and just have him waiting in the wings. So that's the type of trade I'm talking about, where you accomplish everything in one fell swoop. And that's also where J.D. Davis can be a factor as well, because maybe you don't want to give up Ronnie Mauricio. Maybe you want to center a package around some of your lesser-level prospects, and you want to try to find a way to make things work. Maybe there's a team out there who loves J.D. Davis, whether it's the Cubs or somebody else. And if they do, maybe it's a three-team deal where you can trade J.D. Davis to a contender, maybe in the American League, and they can send prospects that go back to Chicago to get Chris Bryant to the Mets. Now, the problem with that is any team that wants J.D. Davis to help them this season would just prefer to send their prospects to Chicago to get Bryant. But maybe they don't want to go all in on a Chris Bryant trade, so they split the difference with Davis. You take the prospects you get for Davis and some of your prospects to get the deal done for Bryant and pitchers. Bryant in arms. Or if it's trade with the Pirates to get Brian Reynolds or Adam Frazier, to me, you get one of those guys and you get arms, whether that is Tyler Anderson or someone else is having a good season in their bullpen. You got to try to find a way to really get the most out of the prospects you deal, especially if you're dealing some of the guys that we talked about in the first segment. If you're dealing Mauricio, if you're dealing Vientos, I hate to see either of those players go for rentals, but if you get enough rentals in the deal that it makes you a legitimate World Series contender, you make the move. So I think that is something the Mets have to explore in a couple of weeks here, or as they're on the phones now. It's finding a complete trade to get a deal done. Or if it's not that, if you're not giving up Vientos or Mauricio or one of those top guys, then it's making smaller trades to augment the roster. I've mentioned Anderson a lot. I like him. Maybe you make a deal there. Shouldn't take too much to get a pitcher who still has an ERA over 4 and is a rental. So it's not going to take probably any of those names I've mentioned today. Maybe it's some lower level prospects that are 18 years old, international free agents that you just recently signed that maybe the Pirates liked as well. You move one or two of those guys in a deal, you get a better solution than what you have. And you just kind of fill your problems. I think the thing that the Mets have right now is they have the leverage to say, this team that we have is fine. that's their leverage that they can put out in these talks. Other teams can say, look, you need Chris Bryant to win it all. And the Mets can say, look, we don't need anything. We got the best trio of starting pitchers in baseball right now with DeGrom, Walker, and Stroman, and we're going to add Carrasco to the mix. That's a huge addition in itself. This division, have you looked around? We're going to win the East this year, and once we get into the playoffs, I don't think anyone wants to face us. That's what the Mets can say to any of these teams. That's their leverage. And with that leverage, they should hang up the phone on anyone who asks for Alvarez, Beatty, Allen, Jin, any of those guys. You hang up the phone. The only reason why I deal Mauricio, as I already mentioned, because he's another guy that I'm hanging up the phone 99 times out of 100. It's for that one deal that really changes things. And theoretically, if that deal is right, anybody could be on the move. But to me, it's just not worth mortgaging your future unless it's going to take you to a different stratosphere. Because as I've said before, this team should be able to win this division as presently constituted and with that pitching. Who knows what can happen? Anyway, that's going to be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. On tomorrow's show, going to be covering the MLB draft with Jacob Resnick. Then on Friday's show, we'll be back to previewing games and the season will resume after this All-Star break. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter, at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show, at Locked On Mets. And if you want to get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes, check out the Locked On Today podcast, hosted by Peter Bukowski. Locked On Today updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.